Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler, Nick, and D-Mac.
Yeah, I don't feel that at all. I think that Royce is one of the most complete football players on this team, and I trust him as much as anyone in this building. I think he's, he got nicked up during the season. All those things happen when you're a physical runner like himself. But, I mean, if you think about the plays, the Chicago game, those checkdowns he caught where he made people miss in 2 minutes, and even the catch in 2 minutes late in the game, he caught a hitch, he got out of bounds. That was a really good football play. I trust him completely. He's the two of them are both great players, and we're fortunate to have both of them, and we got to keep them playing at a high level. But Royce is going to have a big year and continue to have big years. He's a physical, complete football player.
That is Rich Gangarello, the offensive coordinator for the Broncos. We're joined by Nikki Javala, our fan Broncos insider from The Athletic, joining us now courtesy of Ent Credit Union. Is Gangarello a little defensive, Nikki, today? I guess we shouldn't be surprised by that because the offense is struggling. What was your sense from Coach Gangarello?
Yeah, I don't know that he was defensive. I think he's more looking out for his players because I think a lot of these guys do read social media. They do read other reports that are out there, and he kind of wanted to set it straight. But I do know that they do think highly of Royce Freeman. He wouldn't be in the position he is if they thought otherwise. And I remember Scangarello telling us, you know, the beginning of OTAs at camp, how he viewed Freeman and Phillip Lindsay kind of like Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, like he had in Atlanta, kind of, you know, the bigger back with the smaller back and how they complement each other. And I think when the offense is rolling, they do. I just think the Broncos offense hasn't been good enough, long enough to really see what those two are capable of together.
Nikki, what are the quick injury updates here? Sounds like Emmanuel Sanders is going to go. Juwan James, though, mm-hmm. That one's a little bit more vague to me. Today sounded like there was optimism.
Yeah, I still would kind of be surprised if he plays Thursday. He might be back out there, but you know, they didn't really have any practice this week. They're actually out on the field now just for a walkthrough because of the short turnaround, and they released their injury reports as estimations. I would just kind of be surprised. They haven't really given a strong indication that he would be back out there, but you never know. But Emmanuel looks like he should be okay. Duke Dawson should be good to go for Thursday, or at least good enough. Trying to think of who else. The guys on IR, it looks like they're holding them a week because this week is sort of lost with just walkthroughs and no practices. So those that are eligible will probably return after the Chiefs game.
So, Nikki, Tyreek Hill comes back for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we've seen Coach Fangio run the zone type of system. Can we expect for the Broncos to roll out a little more man-to-man coverage, or will we see more of Justin Simmons favoring whoever is on the side mm-hmm. of Tyreek Hill?
Well, I think Fangio's system has kind of been a mix of both all along. I mean, they can start out in man, they switch to zone within the same play. So, I think we'll probably see more of that. I know their emphasis this week is, you know, mainly shutting down one aspect of the Chiefs' offense because they are so prolific and they can beat you in so many different ways. And the Broncos know this better than anybody, having lost the last 7 games to them. So I think their goal going in is certainly try to do what you can against Patrick Mahomes and then, you know, maybe shut down the run game and then focus on the passing game, in which case they do have guys like Tyreek Hill. They have guys like Travis Kelce, who has done significant damage to the Broncos defense over the years. So they got their work cut out from them. And I know a lot of guys in the locker room said, you know, this is the one game they've been looking forward to because it's the biggest test. Right. This is where they can really gauge if their defense is for real or not.
Hey, a technical question. When you get put on IR, I understand from the time you get put on IR till you can come back to practice is 6 weeks. But after you come back to practice, what's the minimum amount of time that has to go by before you can actually play?
You can't play until after week 8. So they can practice for 2 weeks and then be activated for week 8, but they cannot play in a game before then.
Okay.
Usually when guys come back for, you know, after the week 6, they spend the full practice time, and the staff decides by the end if they're going to be activated or not. But week 8 is the minimum. So all right, by the ninth game, they can play.
So are we starting the clock on anybody?
No, they were not out there this week, so they can practice. It looks like they're going to practice next week. They didn't have them out here today because it was just walkthroughs. So
you didn't see
all four are eligible next week.
Okay, so nobody out there this week of those four, which makes sense because it's such a short week anyways, right? Like,
right.
They weren't going to get anything in, so why not take the couple days, right?
Exactly.
Doesn't hurt them. Okay, good stuff, Nikki. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you later. It's Nikki Jabala, brought to you courtesy of Ent Credit Union. Better rates, lower fees. Visit Ent.com. Scangarello about what they need to do to score points on KC.
Again, always trying to play complimentary football. So however we got to win, we're going to do what we have to do. So that's take care of the football. And if it's grinded out like last week and run the ball and know that your defense is playing well, we'll do it that way. And if we have to score points because of something different, because they pose a different threat, we'll adapt to that. But, we have to do our part if we're going to beat a really good football team like Kansas
City. Am I hearing that the right way? Wait, were they not scoring points on purpose last week because they didn't need to? Is that what I just heard?
No, that's not what you heard. I know it kind of sounded like that.
It sounded like I heard that.
It was the more or less what I said before. They realized where their defense was in the game. They were a better defense overall than the one that they were playing against from an offensive standpoint. And they know they can limit what Marcus Mariota could do from an offensive standpoint. So it wasn't a huge threat like they're going to face this week. So it wasn't a big worry. We can run the ball. Even if we didn't punch it in, it's on a scale of 1 to 10, it's maybe a 5 if you're playing against the Titans, but against the Chiefs, it's a bigger deal. So we understood the magnitude of the game and our opponent, so we wanted to slow things down, work on a run game. If we punch one in off the run, it was fine. But if not, it's not a bigger deal.
I think there's truth in that. There is truth in the fact that they clearly were trying to slow that game down as much as as much as they possibly could. At the end of the day, that's not an offensive performance that anybody's going to be proud of. I don't think we can entirely discount the fact that we struggled in the red zone. I don't think we can entirely discount the fact that we missed some opportunities, that there was an interception. We can't discount all those things. It's not like all those things go away.
Here's what Indy did, because they had a 3-point lead, at the beginning of the second half. 4-minute drive, 6-minute drive, 8.5-minute drive for a field goal. So Indy, it looks like, they really were just trying to drag it out. And they got a field goal. They were up by 6 points. But to me, that just seems, that sounds so risky against Kansas City that can score points so quickly.
I've always said that about the Chiefs. People always talk about time of possession when you're playing the Chiefs, and I've always been like, no.
Right.
No, it's about scoring points when you play the Chiefs. I don't care. I've been proven wrong, though. And the reason why I've been proven wrong is that you can beat the Chiefs with time of possession. And it's because, they're made of Swiss cheese in that rush defense.
Yeah, you can do it.
And so it's not just like taking the time of possession, but it's also taking what they give you.
What's scary, though,
terrible at rush defense.
If you go into this theory, right, and you find yourself down 17-3, which could happen like that, now what?
Isn't that what happened against the Texans? I mean, they threw that bomb on the first play of the game, and I know they got up at least 7-0 very quickly.
Yeah. It worked for the Texans. I don't know if it can work for the Broncos. They do have Deshaun Watson.
True.
We got Joe Flacco. Hot Take Tuesday. Got a cool prize. We're ready for your hot takes at 303-713-1043. We'll kick it off next.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.